Hello once again, everybody, and thank you for joining me here on this Wednesday, March 7th edition of Bang the Book Radio. My name is Adam Burke, your host for the next 45 minutes or so. So go over all kinds of things in the world of sports from a betting focus. Glad to have you with me for this studio quality recording with myself and Kyle Hunter of huntersportspicks.com. Two shows on this Wednesday. We've got this recorded edition, and then we'll do a live show, the regular 11 to 12 format with Wes Reynolds and also Rolf Michaels. So I don't know if you're hearing this on Tuesday night or Wednesday morning, but we are recording Tuesday night. So if some of these futures odds move, I apologize for that, but just kind of the nature of the beast here, recording this live over at bangthebook.com. Make sure you're checking out all that we have to offer. I've got conference tournament previews up for all of the remaining conference tournaments. My MLB season win totals posted over there as well. Daily NBA, NHL, college basketball, free picks, analysis, situational betting articles, so much stuff going on over there. We are your one-stop shop for sports betting news and information. Check out those free pick contests. We can win cash prizes. Check out our sportsbook reviews, and then also take a look around the site. We've got our matchup data section with side-by-side statistical comparisons of the two teams in a given matchup. We've got betting trends, against the spread statistics, all kinds of stuff over there at bangthebook.com. So without further ado, we've got nine conference tournaments to get to on today's segment with Kyle Hunter from huntersportspicks.com. Kyle, how's it going today, man?
Going well, man. I'm glad we can get to all these conference tournaments. I think that's pretty neat that we're able to get through them all.
Yeah, I think so, too. And, you know, that's something that you and I have prided ourselves on ever since we started doing these college basketball podcasts for bangthebook.com. And, you know, I know we started the college football one about 5 years ago now, and I don't remember offhand when we actually started doing the college basketball ones, but you know, this is something that we have prided ourselves on, is getting all of the conference tournaments out there. There are 32 of them. We've got nine more to go here today. I miscounted. I thought it was eight. It's actually nine, as you pointed out to me. And we'll go ahead and start with that one that I had forgotten in the list. That is the American Athletic Conference down in Orlando, Florida for this one. Last year it was in Hartford. So, you know, kind of an interesting situation here where 2 years ago this conference tournament was in Orlando. Now it goes back to the Sunshine State.
Yeah, you know, this is a conference where Cincinnati's obviously played really well this year. You know, people who have listened to this segment over the past few weeks know that I don't really think that Cincinnati's going to go as far as some people think in the NCAA tournament, but you have to commend them for how they've played overall so far this year. This is certainly a team that plays really good defense. They play hard. I think their offense is going to be a problem for them when they play against better teams. The thing is, nobody's really better than them in this conference tournament. And Cincinnati, the bracket works out really well for them here. You know, the tricky teams for them would have been Wichita State or Houston in my mind. And they have Tulsa up in their end of that bracket. You know, I don't like the value on Cincinnati laying minus 110, minus 120 that some of them are showing right now to win this conference tournament. I think Cincinnati's the best team. I really don't like laying a price on a favorite unless I really feel confidently about it. You know, to me, Wichita State or Houston, you probably pick which one of those you feel more confident about. Take a chance on them. You can get Wichita State at better than 3-1. I think Wichita State, you know, with the really good coaching and the background that they've been so good here in the past, they would probably be the one I would pick, but have to be completely honest, I'm not going to bet anything in this conference as far as the future.
Yeah, and I don't blame you for that. I mean, I see Cincinnati out there, even money at BetOnline. So, you know, if you want to go that route, you can. I mean, that's a lower price than you would get in the conference tournament final, because they were a 1.5-point dog against Wichita State last week. And, you know, now on a neutral site, they'll probably be about a 2.5-point favorite in a neutral setting against the Shockers after winning that game on the road. Maybe as high as three, because Cincinnati, you know, is a team that has proven at a couple of different junctions this year that they are a great defensive team, that maybe offensively they're a little bit better than Mick Cronin has had in the past. But something that does stand out to me about this conference and about this tournament specifically is that, you know, Wichita State is kind of a fascinating team to me here in this league, because when it comes to the Mo Valley and Arch Madness, they were just a team that could out-talent everybody. They don't really have that luxury here in the AAC. I mean, they're clearly a top two, top three team in this league with Houston and Cincinnati. But still, you know, Greg Marshall doesn't seem to be that great of a coach. I think he's a pretty strong recruiter. But I don't know about him from an X's and O's standpoint. And obviously, you know, he didn't gain any favor with me with his antics on Sunday, not shaking hands with the Cincinnati players and all that. So, you know, I kind of wonder if this thing does come down to Cincinnati. I mean, I sort of feel like the Bearcats are really going to want to prove a point after how Marshall conducted himself on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. I think Cincinnati would probably be favored by 3 points in that game. I couldn't blame anybody if they want to take Cincinnati at even money. Like I said, I think, -110, -120 is a little bit too much. Even money really is not a great value. I think BetOnline was +175 earlier in the week. So if you're able to get Cincinnati early, +175 was a good value. But to me, it's hard to find value here. Houston and Wichita State, you don't know who's going to get through that game. Wichita State might not even get to play Cincinnati. I'll be surprised if Cincinnati doesn't get to the final game. So in one way, you could look at it as if you take Cincinnati at even money, they get to that final game, you're really not in a bad position at all. So I couldn't blame you if you do, but I don't see anything that really stands out to me. And I also don't think that this arena is anything that stands out as far as being an under arena to me either.
All right, let me ask you one last thing here, because once we talk again on next Monday's show, Selection Sunday will have already passed. What do you think about Houston long-term here? I mean, right now, Lenardi has them as a 7, and obviously, they could maybe move up to a 6 or something like that if they beat Wichita State, and then certainly if they win this conference tournament, they'd probably be a 6, maybe the lowest 5 on the board. What about the Cougars? I mean, how do you view them long-term?
I view them as a decent team, but a team that hasn't played that tough of a schedule this year. You look at their non-conference slate. They beat Arkansas at home. That was a good win. They lost to Drexel on a neutral court. They lost at LSU. LSU is not that great of a team, obviously. They beat Providence on a neutral. So they're a team that's certainly a formidable team, but I don't think their schedule has been that tough. I don't think the American Athletic Conference is really that good. So I think they would be a team at that seed range that, it wouldn't be a surprise if you saw Houston as a 7 seed, but they're not even favored in their game in the NCAA tournament.
All right, let's move on from the AAC, and this one shouldn't take us very long here. The Southland Conference, as we go from the Sunshine State to the Lone Star State, this one in Katy, Texas, at the Merrill Center. Southeastern Louisiana, your number one seed. Number two, Nicholls State. Number three, the most well-known team in this conference, and Stephen F. Austin. I'm trying to look here. They do have odds up for this one, and you mentioned this to me before we started recording here, that some of the small conferences now have them. Stephen F. Austin, the Lumberjacks, +173. Number one seed, Southeastern Louisiana Lions, +295. Nicholls State, they're the Colonels, they're +347. Then on down from there. Any thoughts in this conference, which is traditionally unlined?
Yeah, I'll just be honest and say that I don't know this conference as well as most of the others because they're unlined. Stephen F. Austin's a favorite for a reason. They've played tougher teams over the years. They've proven themselves in this kind of spot. I can't argue with Stephen F. Austin being a favorite. I looked at Southeast Louisiana a little bit closer here right before we started recording. Southeast Louisiana didn't really play anybody. They've got an experienced team, but they didn't do well in this conference tournament last year. I don't know if I trust them very much, but I have to say, it's surprising to see the number one seed at +295. The one that I think I would take a small chance with if I had to take something in this league would be Lamar. Lamar +1,400. A money line rollover might be better. I'd have to look that one up. Like I said, don't know this conference very well. But Lamar has beaten Stephen F. Austin twice this year. Lamar actually has some pretty decent wins throughout the year. They won at Tulsa. They won at UTEP. So this is a team, Tulsa and UTEP aren't great teams. But for a Southland team, if you win on the road at Tulsa and UTEP, that's pretty impressive. So to me, Lamar, probably a little bit undervalued. But of course, the bracket doesn't look great for them when you have to play 4 games in 4 days.
No, it really doesn't. And I think really the only thing to consider here about this conference tournament, I'll ask you about the arena and the shooting backdrop here in a second, is that unless Stephen F. Austin wins this league, whoever comes out of the Southland going to be a 16 seed, maybe Stephen F. Austin with their reputation, with some of that name recognition, possibly they find themselves in one of those 2-15 games. I don't think they'd get as high as a 3-14, but obviously we'd have to wait and see what the committee decides to do there. How about the Merrill Center? Anything that you've gleaned in terms of totals for this one?
Yeah, look this one up. The over is 23-18 in the last 41 neutral site games held at this arena. So to me, we don't have anything here to work with. We've had some really good under arenas with the MAAC and the Missouri Valley with the Scott Trade Center. And we'll talk about the Scott Trade Center again later, but I don't think there's anything to see here as far as the shooting backdrop or anything.
All right, we'll move on to another small conference tournament. We'll go from the Lone Star State to Sin City for the Wiggity Wiggity Whack Conference Tournament. New Mexico State, the clear favorite here in this one. Utah Valley is the number two seed. How about Grand Canyon? Good for them getting into the conference tournament here this year now that their transitional period is finished. So the Antelopes getting involved with this one. They're a very, very good defensive team, by the way. New Mexico State, minus 138 favorite. These are coming from Five Dimes. And again, we are recording on Tuesday night, so some of these may have moved by the time you hear this. Utah Valley, number two at 305. Grand Canyon, 480. Nobody else really has a shot to win this conference tournament per the odds makers. Seattle is 27-1, and then on down from there. So what do you think here, Kyle? New Mexico State or bust?
Well, New Mexico State's certainly the best team in this league. There's no doubt about that. Chris Chans has done a really good job there. He's done a good job wherever he's gone, you know, as far as on the court. I know he's had some off-the-court issues, but he's a good coach. He's proven that. I think New Mexico State, what they did in the non-conference, they've proven that they are definitely the team to beat here. And if you look at the bracket, New Mexico State has a pretty easy route. You know, they have a virtual layup in their first game. And then they play probably Seattle, could be UT Rio Grande Valley, but Seattle has been better throughout the course of the season. I think New Mexico State will get to the championship game here. So then you're just trying to figure out, if you go to the bottom of the bracket, who might meet them. Grand Canyon would be my favorite here. As you mentioned, Grand Canyon plays some really good defense, you know, and defense travels well. The other thing that travels well is their student section, just their fan base. They have a really rabid fan base. I think that this could be a little bit of a home court advantage for them when you look at, you know, where everybody else is coming from. So I think Grand Canyon will have more people there than the rest of the teams, at least, or at least most of them. So I like Grand Canyon to win that first game. Utah Valley and Grand Canyon would be a close line. Nobody would be favored by very much at all. But I think Grand Canyon at that price is the only one I'd even consider. Having said that, I think, again, that this will probably be a conference I'll pass on.
Yeah, and for Grand Canyon here, I mean, it's a reasonable trip coming up from Phoenix, and their head coach, Dan Marley, a guy that I'm sure people have heard of before. I like the angle that you brought up about this being, you know, possibly a home type of atmosphere for them at Orleans Arena, first chance to go to the conference tournament. And look, if you're a college kid, I mean, obviously it's beneficial if you're 21 going to a place like Las Vegas. But if you're an upperclassman there with Grand Canyon and you get the chance to have an excuse to go to Las Vegas, hell yeah, why wouldn't you do it? And who knows, maybe it's even spring break for the university. I don't really know, but it's about that time of the year for a lot of the universities that are out there. So, you know, seems like Grand Canyon could have a little bit of a hometown crowd, as you mentioned. One thing that is very interesting to me, and this goes back to another conference tournament in Las Vegas in the West Coast Conference. You know, I thought Gonzaga being in the minus 180 range was a really good grab. Figured they'd be a bigger money line favorite than that in the championship game. As it turns out, St. Mary's got knocked off by BYU. So if you grab that Gonzaga price, minus 180, minus 190, whatever it was when we talked about it, they're about a $5 favorite on Tuesday night taking on BYU. So you got a lot of good line value there if you took advantage of Gonzaga. And I sort of look at this conference tournament setting up the same way, in that I'd be very stunned to see New Mexico State just a minus 140 favorite in that championship game.
Oh, they'd definitely be a bigger favorite than that. I think probably significantly better than that. You know, Grand Canyon's the only one that I would see as a good value at all, but I couldn't blame anybody for taking New Mexico State either. I'll be surprised if somebody other than New Mexico State wins this conference tournament. It's not one that I can feel really strongly about because, as we talk about, you know, this is not a conference that's usually lined, so I don't have any reason to know these teams as well as the others. But Grand Canyon having a little bit of a home court advantage would be the only edge that I could see them having. When you look at as far as the totals, the over is 50 and 46 in the last 96 games at Orleans Arena. No under trends here either, so to me, you know, this bracket sets up pretty well for New Mexico State. So if you want to lay the price, you know, probably not a bad price there.
All right, let's get to some of these major conference tournaments now. And we're only going to talk about major ones, except for the Ivy League, which we'll discuss to break up some of these big-time conferences. But let's go to the Big East Conference Tournament. This one at Madison Square Garden. It begins on Wednesday. It begins very late on Wednesday, 7 o'clock and 9:30 for the two first-round games in this one. This is a loaded conference, as we've talked about throughout the year. I know you and I have some interest in this one. Providence, a team that we both have a piece of from a futures standpoint. They seem to be on the bubble. I think they probably get in, but it would certainly benefit them to show fairly well here. I've got a piece of Creighton as well, so it'd be nice for the Blue Jays to make a little bit of a run. But Villanova, your chalk favorite, minus 118, despite being the two seed here. Xavier plus 410, Creighton 925, Seton Hall 975. These all coming from five dimes. Are you stunned to see Villanova as this big of a favorite?
I'm really not. I think Villanova is clearly the best team in this league, and actually Bookmaker has Villanova minus 139, so they're even a bigger favorite some other places. Xavier's a good team. I like Xavier. You know, I've talked about them as a potential future for, you know, having some value in the big dance, but Villanova is definitely the more complete team here. Villanova, though, has been upset several times here in this Big East Conference tournament, so it certainly won't surprise me if they get upset here in this. I'm not laying that price. I do think Villanova is certainly the best team here. What I want to try to do is I want to try to find some value there to see if somebody can knock off Xavier there at the top of the bracket. I hate to sound redundant, you know, and it's going to sound like, you know, I'm like the Providence fan club or something, and that's certainly not what it is. But Providence seems like a good value to me. If you look at this, Providence and Creighton, you know, Creighton will be favored by a few points there. But Providence has proven that they can play with both Creighton and Xavier. It wouldn't surprise me if Providence wins a couple games here. Right now at Bookmaker, you're getting plus 3473, an interesting number, but plus 3473 on Providence. I like that. I'll take a small stab at Providence here, plus 3473. I think that, you know, I could see somebody making an argument for St. John's as a team that, because they played better at the end of the season, they might be worth it at plus 3,200, plus 3,300. I could see that, but Providence has to play one less game than them. So, to me, the way the bracket shakes down, you know, I wouldn't want to take Seton Hall or Butler because I really don't know who's going to win that game. You don't get long enough odds. So, to me, you know, Creighton could certainly beat Providence and could beat Xavier, but Providence has a much larger price. So, I like Providence as a value play here.
Well, and of course, this is one of those for St. John's where they've got the home court advantage in this one. They should beat Georgetown. I know they finished behind Georgetown during the regular season, but this is a St. John's team that beat both Duke and Villanova during the regular season. So we've seen the ceiling. We've seen what this team is capable of. Then they also have some of those head-scratching losses where you kind of go, is this even the same team? So for St. John's, obviously, they're kind of a Jekyll and Hyde type of team. If you get hot, though, in this conference tournament, you can make a run. Now, of course, winning, you know, four games in 4 days is a big-time challenge, but for St. John's, I mean, you really don't need them to get that far to start hedging. If they beat Xavier, you could start cutting into it a little bit with somebody like Providence or Creighton, whoever they wind up playing in that game. As you mentioned, the Butler-Seton Hall game is just way too tough to call. Villanova is the team that's kind of interesting to me here, and I'm not going to play it, obviously. There's no line value on this whatsoever to lay a minus money price in a tournament with this many good teams. But you mentioned that Jay Wright's team has had some problems in this conference tournament before. And of course, as we know, they've gone on a couple of very, very good March Madness runs over the last few years. So I'm curious to see what the mindset is of Villanova. And I talked about this. I did Lockie Lockerson, who contributes to bangthebook.com. I did a couple minutes on his first podcast, and he was asking me about, you know, what team would I take to win the NCAA tournament right now. And I said, now that Villanova's healthy, they'd be the team. But as I was talking, I kind of started thinking to myself, Villanova hasn't been healthy. The body of work is impressive with the record that they have, being 27-4 and then 14-4 in conference play. But I feel like, you know, I kind of want to know what Jay Wright's mindset is. Does he go into this thing and say, you know what, we're healthy, let's make a statement, let's get that overall number one seed, or at the very least, the overall number two seed? Or does he say, you know, we've got bigger things to worry about, I don't want to put our kids through three games in 3 days because we have had these injury problems? Villanova's in a very, very interesting spot here.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, you know, you would think that Villanova would probably be fairly motivated in this conference tournament based on the fact that they haven't really played that well in it some of the years of late. And Villanova now being healthy, my guess would be that they would be fairly motivated here. I certainly don't feel strong enough to be laying a price with them. You know, you're seeing even minus 150 at Bet Online. So, you know, definitely shop around. We've talked about this before, but I look at Xavier, plus 275 at one book and plus 410 at another. So if you like Xavier, definitely shop around. Same thing with Providence, you know, plus 2,500, then almost plus 3,500 at another. To me, Villanova is the best team in this conference. The only thing that would concern me a little bit here, Villanova is actually a pretty jump shot heavy team this year. You know, they're not as good on defense as they've been in the past years. That's my one worry about them. You know, they've been a team in the past that has been excellent on defense. They're only okay on defense this year, and they're just amazing on offense. This is played at Madison Square Garden, as we know. Madison Square Garden is a tremendous under arena. Now, this doesn't make as much of a difference for these teams as it would a smaller conference, because these guys are used to playing here. They've played here before, at least most of them, the older guys. And, you know, like you said, St. John's is certainly used to playing here. But, you know, overall, still, you don't like really having a team that shoots a bunch of three-pointers. That's what would worry me about a team like Creighton in this conference tournament. To me, Madison Square Garden, though they are somewhat used to it, it's still a negative for shooters.
One more thing I think we should talk about here is we're talking about some of these deeper conference tournaments, and this was my mistake for not talking about it on Monday. It is something that I should have brought up, is that, you know, you're playing 3 games in 3 days, 4 games in 4 days, and when you're in one of these really good conferences where, you know, I mean, everyone's kind of beaten everybody in this conference throughout the year, and there are a few others that we're going to talk about on today's show where that has been the case, depth becomes such a factor because you don't get a pseudo bye game. Like, you know, if you're playing the Conference USA conference tournament, something like that, Middle Tennessee State, you know, while they are a deep team, while they run, you know, a lot of guys out there under Kermit Davis, you know, they're playing some games in the early rounds where they don't really have to exert themselves too much. In a conference tournament like this, or like the ACC or something like that, you're not getting those gimme games. You're playing legit competition. You have to work your ass off in every game that you play. So I think that's one thing that we need to start focusing on here a little bit more with these major conferences that we're going to talk about today, is depth is so much more important in these premier leagues. So who's the deepest team in this league?
You're absolutely right that depth is really important. And I would say that Villanova is not as deep as some of the other teams in this conference. They don't use their bench very much. Xavier, a pretty deep team. You know, you have several teams in this conference that really play a lot of their starters quite a few minutes. Butler's another team that uses starters a lot of the minutes. Seton Hall's a team that uses a lot of the guys for significant minutes. They don't have much of a bench. I don't think there's really any team in this conference that I would say is extremely deep. You know, St. John's does a lot of really, really heavy minutes for their starters. I'm looking at this as we're recording this, and actually St. John's almost the least bench minutes of any team in the country. So I don't know any team here that stands out as a really deep team in this conference. You know, you can look down further at a team like Marquette. They use their bench a little bit. But to me, a lot of these guys are on pretty even ground. You know, you don't have anybody that really stands out to me as a really deep team. Creighton is the deepest team as far as how much they use their bench. But having said that, Creighton has some injuries that are pretty concerning. You know, they've had some trouble rebounding because of their big man injuries. So, you know, question marks for a lot of different teams here. I don't think depth is really that impressive in the Big East compared to some of these other ones that we're going to talk about going forward.
And I'm glad I thought to bring that up as well, because once we get into the NCAA tournament and you're playing Thursday, Saturday, or Friday, Sunday, or if one of these Big East teams, you know, finds its way into one of those play-in games on Tuesday or Wednesday, you know, that may end up being a significant factor. So you want to look at things like bench minutes. You want to see, especially in these conference tournaments where, you know, or even the NCAA tournament, in a one-and-done format, you know, you want to have multiple scoring options. That's one of the things I worry about with a team like Texas Tech, for example, as we transition over to the Big 12 tournament, is that he means everything to that team offensively and defensively. And we know that he's been hobbled. We know that he's been hurt. That's something that's concerning, not just this week in Kansas City, but as we head into the NCAA tournament as well, because they rely heavily on him on both ends of the floor. And if he's off for one game, and this is something that we've seen happen in the past, obviously, if your star player is off for one game, you're in deep trouble. And so, you know, that's why depth is a very important factor here at this time of the year. So let's go to that Big 12 conference tournament in Kansas City. Kansas, the number one seed, they will travel extremely well, as Tony George told us on our Tuesday edition of the show. Aforementioned Texas Tech, the number two seed, West Virginia 3, K-State 4, TCU 5, Baylor, Texas, Oklahoma State, and Oklahoma all finished with 8-10 records in the conference. Baylor 6, Texas 7, Oklahoma State 8, Oklahoma 9. And, you know, as you look up and down this conference, Kyle, I mean, I think this is a hard conference tournament to figure out. You figure Kansas would be the favorite. They are. But they're a favorite at about plus 203 out there. So apparently the odds makers think this one's fairly wide open.
Yeah, you know, Kansas has been a hard team to trust this year. You know, they're certainly a good team. Bill Self's a really good coach. Sometimes they've not been too motivated in these Big 12 conference tournaments. You know, I think that Bill Self, you could argue, while they've had a decent amount of success here, they've certainly been the best team in the league every single year. So you would have thought they would have won the Big 12 tournament a little bit more often than they have. I don't know that they put a really high priority on winning this conference tournament. That would be my concern with them. You know, plus 200, probably not a bad price on them. I don't want to take Kansas here. The only one that I would consider, and I think that I'm probably going to pass on this conference, I don't see much value. West Virginia, plus 350, not a great price. Honestly, I'd kind of circled West Virginia as a team that I wanted to take here, and I thought I might get plus 400 or better. To me, West Virginia has a lot of motivation to get into this conference tournament final again. The last 2 years, they've lost in the conference tournament final. You have to imagine that they want to win this thing. Bob Huggins seems like a coach to me that would not, you know, pass up a chance like this to try to make a statement. And, you know, the way they lost to Kansas in that last game certainly infuriated them. I know that Bob Huggins got in some trouble about, you know, what he said about that. And you can't blame him after the free throw disparity in that game. But to me, West Virginia is a team that I kind of like their path here. I think they match up pretty well against a team like Baylor. Texas, it depends on if Bamba is healthy. You know, he's so important to that team. I think West Virginia has a decent path here. The problem is I don't see enough value on that number. The one thing I'll say is Oklahoma State's kind of an interesting team. You know, you look at Oklahoma State, they have beaten some really good teams throughout the course of this season. Obviously, they beat Kansas twice. They beat Florida State in what was basically a road game. They've won some really impressive victories. They won at West Virginia. This is a team that has really had a good season as far as winning against top talent. Their problem has been consistency and beating those teams that they should beat. You know, I wouldn't blame anybody if they took a Oklahoma State money line rollover here, because Oklahoma State's going to be motivated. They have to win several games if they want to get in the big dance. The teams that they play against early on probably don't have to win any games to get in the big dance. So Oklahoma State should be highly motivated here, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, you've got an Oklahoma team that maybe if they lose in the first round to Oklahoma State, this is what finally plays them out of the tournament. But, you know, we've talked about this before on previous segments. I know I talked about it with Brad Powers. I think you and I talked about it as well. You know, it's kind of my concept with the college football playoff. If they can get Ohio State into it, if they can get one of those national blue blood programs that travels into the Final Four, they're going to do it. If you can get Trae Young into the NCAA tournament with all the hype and buzz about that kid, you're going to do it. So, you know, it's hard to push Oklahoma out of the picture here. Oklahoma State, as you mentioned, a team with a lot of incentive here. Kansas State as well. Kansas State seems to be a team firmly on the bubble. TCU is definitely in. Kansas State, they should be in. I don't think they have to beat TCU, but it would certainly benefit them to go ahead and beat the Horned Frogs. What's really hard about this conference tournament, you hit on some of these things. Texas isn't healthy. I hit on how Texas Tech's not healthy. West Virginia, with the style that they play, with that up-tempo press Virginia defense, you know, how do they fare playing three games in 3 days? Maybe that's been a contributing factor as to why they've lost this title game back-to-back seasons. Is Kansas motivated? Are they, you know, do they get a number one seed even if they lose in the semifinals or in the championship or something like that? I think it's a really hard conference because you have a lot of these external things to try and figure out. And then you'll get Texas Tech. I'll go back to them again. You know, they're a very good team. Chris Beard is a fantastic coach. But if you have to play Texas with their, you know, pressure defense and then West Virginia with their press Virginia defense, you know, there's not a whole lot of incentive for them when they're trying to get their team healthy. So, man, this is a hard one to figure out, honestly.
Yeah, I wanted to take Texas Tech. I wanted to find a reason to take them. But the same thing that you just said right there concerns me. You know, I think Texas Tech is one of those teams that it would kind of benefit them to have some rest. You know, they're going to be a pretty good seed in the NCAA tournament no matter what. Chris Beard's a really good coach. If they have a healthy team, they could make a decent run in the big dance. if they don't have a healthy team, they could be one of those top seeds that gets upset really quickly. So I wonder about their motivation here. I think West Virginia is a motivated team. I don't think plus 350 is a great price on them, and I think that's the best that you can find right now. So for me, I'm probably going to sit this one out.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing that I would recommend to you and to our listeners, and you already know this, but you kind of wait around for some of that public investment to come in on Kansas, because people are going to look at Kansas and say, they've won this conference tournament X number of times in the last, 10 to 15 years. They get the crowd support because Lawrence is only about 45 minutes to the west. So people are going to say they've got a home court advantage. They're the best team here in this league. They're the most consistent team in this league. Why are they 2-1? I'm taking this. Maybe that's something that will help you get a little bit more value on West Virginia. So this is definitely one worth monitoring here as we get closer to tip-off. All right, let's go out to the Big West Conference Tournament. We just now got odds for this one a little bit ago, just before we started recording. UC Santa Barbara plus 223, UC Davis 315, Irvine 347, Fullerton 680, Long Beach State 1050, Hawaii 1150, and unfortunately, looks like no shot for the Highlanders or Cal Poly, 41 and 80-1 respectively. This is a hard conference tournament to figure out because we see a lot of really weird things happen here in Anaheim, and this one reseeds after the quarterfinals.
Yeah, the reseeding makes this really difficult because you don't know what the matchups are going to look like. It's hard to project this going forward. I think UC Irvine has the best defense in this conference. They're certainly my lean here, but I don't think they have a very easy path. If you look at, playing Hawaii in the first game, Hawaii has been really inconsistent, but they're very capable of beating anybody in this conference tournament. So no easy game for them to start with, where the number one and two seeds have a fairly easy game, or what should be a fairly easy game in their first game. I think it'll be really interesting to see what happens in this conference tournament. Maneki has been suspended for UC Davis. I assume he's not going to play in this conference tournament. He was the best player on their team. So you have a one seed that has certainly some question marks. I don't really like the four or five seeds right there against them, so I don't know that I'd be too interested in them. I still think UC Irvine's the one I'm most interested in, though, like I said, I don't think the path is particularly easy. And plus 347, I was hoping for a little bit better than that. I do think it's interesting that you see UC Davis at plus 315, even though they're the one seed. So UCSB getting quite a bit of love there from the books.
Yeah, and this is one, I mean, like I said, this is a pretty crazy league because 7 of the 8 teams here that are playing in this conference tournament have won this conference tournament since 2011. Pacific won in 2013. They're not in the conference anymore. Actually, if we go back to 2008, excuse me, I misspoke there. Since 2008, 7 of the 8 teams that are in the field for this thing have won this conference tournament. So there really has not been a whole lot of consistency. I mean, even when UC Irvine had Mamadou Njai and, they had some of those other really good players out there in that conference, this thing was theirs to lose, and they still didn't always get it done. So this is a very, very strange conference tournament. The reseeding element makes it interesting. It's certainly beneficial to be a number one seed here, but as you mentioned, number one seed is still higher than 3-1. So I really don't know where to go with this conference, but one thing that we can talk about here is the venue.
Oh, yeah, the venue is the best thing about this conference tournament. This is certainly a really good under arena. As you know, it's a hockey arena. It's a huge place. The big thing about this is these guys are not used to playing in this big of an arena. And, you go to a place like this, it's so much different than everywhere else you've been playing throughout the course of the season. It's difficult. And you can see some really fast-paced games that finished 60-58 because they went, both teams shot 20% or lower from the three-point line. Don't be surprised if you see that here. I certainly like first-half unders at this venue. I think you'll get some good value on that. I like full game unders as well, especially as you get a little bit farther into the tournament and it means more. There's a positive and a negative there. When you get farther in the tournament, it means more. But also, the people playing in that game are probably playing for like the third game in a row, third day in a row, and the tired legs, that's usually good for an under. So in general, I'll be looking for unders in this conference tournament. I think first half unders have a lot of value.
All right, let's move on to a much bigger league here, a much more notable league. That is the Atlantic 10, and this conference tournament being played in Washington, D.C. for the first time. So we got a new venue here, Capital One Arena. It's where the Washington Wizards and also the Washington Capitals play. So this is a basketball arena, and we think about the A-10, and it's a fairly big conference. I mean, it's one of the stronger mid-majors out there, but still, this is a pretty big shooting backdrop, and I'll be curious to see how it plays.
Yeah, I'm not sure how it'll play. It'll be interesting for sure. I think Rhode Island's in the tournament, so I think Rhode Island is the one team that, you know, they're a lock for the tournament. It doesn't matter what they do here, at least I think. Everybody else needs to win this thing, so what's Rhode Island's motivation level compared to some of the other teams? That's a question mark that I see here. The other thing is, George Mason is a 5 seed. That's one of the weakest 5 seeds I've seen. And it's interesting if you look at the odds. You know, the odds makers know that they're a really weak 5 seed. So I think that LaSalle is much better than a 12 seed when they're healthy. I think a LaSalle money line rollover is something that I'm certainly considering doing myself. LaSalle is better than several of the teams with a better seed than them here. And it wouldn't surprise me if LaSalle wins at least a couple games in this tournament. And, you know, if somebody upsets Rhode Island here, I don't think it should be a huge surprise. Like I said, you know, Rhode Island has less to play for than the other teams in this conference. You know, you got teams like St. Bonnie and Davidson there on the other side of the bracket. The tough thing there is, which one of them do you want to go with? Because those two teams are clearly very even. I mean, we've seen their games against each other and how they've gone. It's hard to handicap that game. So like I say, I think I would go with a team like LaSalle, take a money line rollover. The only other one I'd consider is St. Joe's. You know, St. Joe's has been really switching up a bunch of defenses lately, playing some interesting zone defenses. They gave Rhode Island a ton of trouble last time they played. I certainly don't think anything's going to happen like it did the last time they played, but St. Joe's price is pretty good to me. So two things I'm looking for, LaSalle money line rollover and maybe a St. Joe's future.
Yeah, and for St. Joe's here, anywhere from 12 to 13 to 1 in the marketplace. Rhode Island is your favorite, plus 150. I bet if you lined this conference tournament a couple months ago, they'd be more like minus 130, minus 135, something like that. But they really have struggled down the stretch. Brian Blessing on Tuesday's show was convinced that St. Bonaventure was already solidly in the field. So we'll have to see. I mean, it certainly would benefit the Bonnies to win at least one game here. But again, it kind of depends on what happens with some of the other conference tournaments. You know, we talked about Conference USA on Monday. If Middle Tennessee State doesn't win that thing, well, there goes a bubble bid, and there are a few others that are like that as well. So, you know, the Bonnies definitely have a lot to play for here this weekend. Davidson as well, since Davidson, their definite only shot in is to win this conference tournament. I like what you brought up about LaSalle and also St. Joe's, because, you know, those are two teams that would wind up playing each other here in the quarterfinals. If LaSalle beats UMass on Wednesday night, which they should, and then also beats George Mason, who, as you mentioned, a pretty weak 5 seed there. If you've got both of those teams going head-to-head in the quarterfinals, that's a pretty good spot for you to be in, and we'll see what kind of game Rhode Island gets from the winner of VCU and Dayton, and I want to talk about that for just a second, because, you know, we've had some teams that really aren't very good this year going into the conference tournaments, and they've still made some runs. Iona won the MAAC, UNC Wilmington won a couple of games in the Colonial. They've won that tournament a couple years in a row. I know they for sure won it last year, so I could be wrong with that. But they were a 10-20 team overall going into that conference tournament. Still wound up playing fairly well in that thing. It seems like some of these teams that have that pedigree, that have a little bit of history, that aren't very good, are still capable of putting it together here at this time of the year. Now, it's obviously a different situation for Dayton without Archie Miller, but you get the idea that, you know, these teams that know what it takes to win in March, you know, whether they're good or bad from a record standpoint, they still kind of seem to give it a real game effort. So I'm curious to see if the winner of that 8-9 game does give Rhode Island a run for its money, and then see how that affects the Rams going forward.
Yeah, two things. First, I hope the St. Bonnie's already in the tournament. I will say that, you know, I think they should be. I like the mid-major teams getting in. I would worry if I were them if I lost right away, though, because we've seen the mid-majors get screwed many times, so it wouldn't be the first time. Dayton and VCU, Dayton turns the ball over so much, it really concerns me. You know, they're really good on offense if they get a shot up, but, you know, turnovers are a major problem for them, and they're not very good on defense. VCU was really bad away from home this year. You know, this is a team that really dropped off pretty badly, I think worse than almost anybody would have thought. So I wouldn't trust either one of them. The only thing I would say is, you know, you do have the angle of Rhode Island maybe not being quite as motivated And, you know, as I talk about this, I do think that, you know, I like the LaSalle and St. Joe's angle pretty well. Just as you said, you could have both teams there. And I would give both of them a fighter's chance to upset Rhode Island.
All right, two more conference tournaments to get to here on this studio quality recording. The second to last one we're going to talk about is the Ivy League. This one will not take us long because there are only four teams in the Ivy League Conference Tournament. Second year that we're having this. Last year, Princeton won it. This year, Princeton didn't make the Final Four, so they're not in this conference tournament. The number one seed is Harvard. However, the number two seed, Penn Quakers, have home court advantage here because this one at the Palestra on their campus. Three seed Yale, four seed Cornell, and we see the number two seed Penn about a minus 115, minus 20 favorite out there.
Yeah, I think the key to this one is whether Bryce Aiken's going to be healthy, point guard for Harvard. When he's healthy, they're the best team in this league. If he's not healthy, they're the second best team in this league. So if you know the status of him or if you find anything about the status of Bryce Aiken, especially if he's going to be 100%, then I would like Harvard here, even playing on the road, if you knew he was 100% healthy. But seeing that he's missed so much time of late, I'm going to assume that even if he plays, he's not going to be 100% healthy. And to me, it's really hard to take anything in this conference tournament. I've said this before, you know, I've done well in college basketball long term. I've had a really good season this year. I'm not very good at picking in the Ivy League. I don't know what it is. You know, weird things happen in the Ivy League. I've almost sworn off betting the Ivy League. So this is one that we can pass over pretty quickly if it's up to me.
There are a couple of interesting things about the Ivy. I mean, first and foremost, you know, these teams play back-to-back every weekend. They play that Friday-Saturday format. So playing a back-to-back here in this conference tournament, not really a big deal for them. It is something that they do. But I think from a price standpoint, there are a couple of things to talk about here. I'd be very surprised if Harvard lost to Cornell. And obviously it sounds like you would be as well, you know, whether or not the point guard's healthy or not. So when we look at this projected, you know, conference tournament final, I think Penn should beat Yale. I mean, they are the home team. They are the better team. So you've got Penn at minus 115 at BetOnline, minus 118 at Five Dimes. That's a smaller price than they would be in this conference tournament final, I think. And obviously Harvard at plus 183 or so, plus 175, plus 183, that's a bigger price than they would be in this final game. So, I mean, you can kind of play both of them, right? And then just sort of, you know, let the free roll happen in the conference championship game.
Yeah, I mean, it seems okay to me. Like I said, I probably won't get invested in this one, but I think that, you know, it's hard to set a line for Harvard and Penn without knowing Bryce Aiken's status. I think Penn would probably be favored by 4.5 points, something in that range. If Aiken were completely healthy, they wouldn't be favored by that much, but I don't think he'll be completely healthy. I think that, you know, Harvard and Penn are very likely to get there. This is an Ivy League that, honestly, it was surprising that Princeton's not in it, obviously. And some of the teams that got in it here, the 3 and 4 seed, really haven't done very much this year. So I agree with you that it would be surprising if it's not those two against each other in the final game.
All right, we may have saved the best for last here with these conference tournament previews. That is the SEC. This is the deepest that this conference has ever been. Could very well get 8 teams into the big dance. And obviously that would mean that, you know, somebody didn't make a run in this thing who's on the outside looking in. And that's certainly a possibility as well. But first and foremost, we've got to talk about the venue for this one. The last 3 years this conference tournament's been in Nashville. This year, it's not.
Yeah, it's at the Scott Trade Center where the MVC has been played in the past, the Missouri Valley Conference. So this has been a tremendous under arena. I know this is something you and I talked about that I think it's a great topic here for the show is this arena mainly an under venue because of who's played at it, or is it just that tough for shooters? I think both can be true, and I think that's probably what it is. I think it's a tough arena, but in the SEC, these guys are going to be used to playing in massive arenas, and so it's not such a big jump from, you know, playing at Loyola Chicago to playing in St. Louis at Arch Madness. Now you've got, you know, Kentucky. Kentucky's not going to think that this is a massive venue and be worried about it. So I think that this is still an under arena to me, but I would be surprised if we still get the massive, you know, I think the under is 62 and 30 or something like that in the MVC tournament. You know, I'd be really surprised if we continue to get just automatic unders here. And I think that, You know, my question would be, and I know this one would be a really hard one to answer, but, you know, I wonder what bettors are going to do about this. Are they just going to automatically bet all the unders and knock them down really hard as they do at the MVC tournament, or is this going to be a little bit different?
Yeah, I don't know, but one of the things that's really interesting about this conference tournament with regards to the totals is that you're at an under venue, and it's been one for the MVC, and like you said, we'll see if it stays one for the SEC, but also a lot of these teams in the SEC are very, very good defensively, which would certainly lend itself to playing the under as well. So I'm curious to see if, you know, the odds makers maybe over-adjust the totals with the reputation that Scottrade has, if bettors hop on because of the reputation that Scottrade has, plus the fact that these are good defensive teams. I think it's going to be really, really intriguing to watch that breakdown here as we go throughout the SEC Conference Tournament. Auburn's plus 320, Florida plus 410, Tennessee also plus 410, Kentucky plus 485. Then you get into the double-digit teams. A&M's about 10.5-1, Missouri about 12-1, Arkansas 13-1, on down from there. So, you know, this is a very, very deep league, but also at the same time, it's deep, but I feel like one of the top four seeds is, you know, probably going to win this thing, and I think it's pretty clear.
Yeah, Florida is one of my favorites here. It's one of my favorites that we talked about. I took Florida at plus 500. Now, you know, plus 410 area looks like about the best you can get. I still like Florida. I think Florida has a really solid chance to be in that championship game. They would probably be playing there against Arkansas. And then Arkansas really has been really inconsistent throughout the year. They just suspended a guy that had, you know, has been playing a lot of minutes from their team. You wonder if chemistry is a little bit of an issue there. I think Florida gets past that game. And then they would likely play Tennessee. You know, Rick Barnes has done a good job with his team this year, but still a coaching disadvantage for Tennessee there in that one. And I think Florida is certainly more talented team than is Tennessee. So I like Florida's chance of being in the title game a lot. So Florida is one of my favorite futures that we've talked about here. I have a pretty decent-sized position on Florida. I still think Florida is worth it at the price that they're at now. You know, the other thing is, I think you have to say that Auburn's a pretty weak one seed. Auburn's a very good team. You know, they've done a really good job this year, but their weakness is in the interior. You know, if somebody has a good front court, they can take out Auburn. I think Bruce Pearl's done a good job with that team, but, you know, I wouldn't blame anybody for trying to find someone to knock off Auburn at the top of the bracket either, but Florida is certainly my favorite here.
Yeah, I think for Florida, the draw is really nice because you've got this high variance team in Arkansas, and then they'd run into Tennessee, and I'm glad we got a chance to shovel some dirt on Rick Barnes here in this one. But for a team like Kentucky, for example, I mean, Kentucky obviously has a ton of upside. When you have that kind of talent, when you have Calipari, you've got upside. But they would play, you know, probably Missouri in the conference quarter or in the quarterfinals, which Missouri should have a little bit of a home court advantage here with Columbia being relatively close to St. Louis. Then they would have to go and play that number one seed Auburn. You know, that those are two really challenging games for them as a team that's been pretty inconsistent this year. Defensively, they've been pretty good. Offensively, it's kind of been hit or miss a little bit for this team. You know, again, maybe you slant toward the defensive teams a little bit at Scottrade, but still they've got a very, very difficult path. And then by proxy, Auburn has a difficult path because they may end up playing a very stout defensive team in Texas A&M or an Alabama team that might have the best player in this tournament in Sexton. And then they would wind up playing, you know, Kentucky probably or Missouri in the semifinals. So Auburn's got a very, very tough draw. I think you're on the right track with that Florida play. I think they've got the best path to get to the championship game here to allow you to set yourself up for a hedge or maybe even just let it ride, depending on, you know, the path that their opponents had to take.
Yeah, I like Florida a lot here. The other one I would say is just, you know, I'm kind of thinking out loud here, but I'm looking at the odds at Bookmaker, and Alabama's plus 3564. That's definitely too big. I don't know why Alabama would be plus 3564. Thing about it is, you know, Texas A&M is a better team than Alabama, or at least they should be a better team than Alabama. But Texas A&M has been really, really inconsistent this year. Very capable of being excellent, also capable of losing to teams that are not nearly as good as them. Texas A&M is not going to be a very big favorite against Alabama. You get Alabama there in that game. If they get through that one, then they, you know, you have to give them a puncher's chance of beating Auburn. I know it would be an upset, and it would be, you know, they'd be a significant underdog. But I think Alabama certainly has a chance of winning a couple games here, and you know, the price of plus 3564 seems too high to me.
A lot of good thoughts here as we ran through 9 conference tournaments once again, the same thing we did on Monday with 9 of them. If you missed that show, I know some of those tournaments have already started, but make sure that you go back, check those out, because the odds are updated over the course of the tournament at places like Five Dimes. I think BetOnline does it as well, and I'm sure others out there in the marketplace do as well. But Kyle Hunter of HunterSportsPicks.com, what's going on over there right now, man?
Well, first of all, I appreciate the opportunity to do all these conference tournaments. I know that several listeners have reached out and said that they really enjoy these. I know Adam and I really like doing these, so certainly glad that other people are getting something out of it as well. We certainly hope that it's helpful. Sign up for the free picks newsletter over at HunterSportsPicks.com if you haven't already. On a nice run on those 67 and 34, so really nice run here in the last 101 picks. And also, next week I'll be having a March Madness Bracket Challenge for people that are signed up there at the newsletter, and that'll be free to join, and there'll be some cash prizes for that. So be sure to sign up if you haven't already.
And make sure that you follow Kyle on Twitter, at Kyle Hunter Picks. Kyle Hunter, HunterSportsPicks.com. Appreciate your time today, brother. Thank you so much, man. And I'll talk to you again next week after we see what the brackets look like.
That sounds great. Talk to you then.
Really terrific stuff there from Kyle Hunter of HunterSportsPicks.com. Like I said, I don't know if you're hearing this on Tuesday night or Wednesday morning, but a live show coming up on Wednesday with Wes Reynolds and also Rolf Michaels from WagerTalk.com. No shows Thursday, Friday, and then we'll figure things out for next week with shows on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and then we'll look ahead to the round of 64 there on Thursday. But that'll do it for me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody, and I will talk to you again on Wednesday.